The singing has been outstanding tonight, from the choir to all the specials tonight. And we would like to take you all to prison with us and sing from place to place and enjoy the services, even as your pastor gave the testimony tonight of the services there at Silverdale. I appreciate this church. You've got a great testimony in the community. And the pastor, Pastor Gamble, what a tremendous blessing to be able to be called his friend and to be able to be here tonight in this place. I appreciate him, Sister Gamble. Mrs. Ellis has said repeatedly, and she's had many speakers at many of our ladies' meetings, she said repeatedly that you're her favorite speaker, and she loves you with all of her heart. She is not able to be here with us tonight. Unfortunately, she is battling with some head cold and bronchitis. So I do ask, if you would, to please be in prayer for her. She sends her greetings, and I do ask that you'll continue to pray for her. I'm grateful tonight for this church and then the employees we have at Rock of Ages Ministries here out of Shenandoah. They're all tremendous workers and doing a great job, and I appreciate Miss Darlene and the work that they do, and for the Fergusons being a blessing and all the years that they spent there as receptionists, along with many other titles and many other responsibilities at the ministry. And then Miss Katrina, I didn't realize Miss Katrina was a deaf interpreter. She's going to have a hard time tonight, and we're going to test her mettle tonight on this interpretation of the message tonight. But I appreciate her, and of course Miss Glenda Klinger, and we're grateful for this church. Please continue to pray for us if you would. I do ask you to pray for an uncle of mine. His name is Robert Yule. Robert is in the hospital tonight, and they're looking at doing a quadruple bypass surgery tomorrow. The doctors have basically said that he's going to definitely die without it and probably will die in the surgery. But so we'd ask you to pray. He's in the hospital in Rome. When the service is over tonight, I'll be making my way after the Pi Fellowship to the Rome Hospital to try to witness to him. He is not saved. I've tried to lead him to the Lord on numerous occasions, and I'm the only one that he has been open to at all, and that's been very little. So we'd ask you to pray for God's wisdom, that we'll be able to break through his cold, crusty heart and see him saved and birthed into the family of God. They'll be doing the surgery tomorrow. We don't have the specific time, but I do ask you to pray for Robert Yule's salvation and that the Lord would intervene where that's concerned. God has done a work in his heart. He used to be very hard and calloused. I remember at the Ellis reunion many years ago, the family had asked me to ask a blessing over the food. So I prayed. When I finished praying, Robert was standing beside me, and he said, "That's one of the dumbest things I ever heard in my life." And I said, "Robert, what are you referring to?" He said, "That prayer." He said, "You go out, you work with the sweat of your brow, work with your hands, expend your energy and your time, and you go and purchase the food with your hard-earned money, and you think somebody had nothing to do with it." And that's the callousness of his heart over these many years. But God has softened it, and he has been a little more open. So I'd ask you to pray for his salvation tonight. Again, I appreciate this church and the Rock of Ages missionaries that are here tonight. And many of you we've been praying for. I know you've had loved ones that have gone on to be of the Lord. And we certainly have lifted you before the throne of grace. Well, tonight is your Thanksgiving service. And someone said to me as I walked in, said, "Now, Brother Ellis, you give us a hard time tonight from the scripture." My response was, "How can you give a hard time when you're preaching on praise and thanksgiving?" And so tonight, if you have your Bible, please turn with us to the book of Philippians chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. If you find your place, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the scriptures and the word of God. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, which started in his visit to the city preaching. He was thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. And while he was in prison in the midnight hour, him and Silas began to praise God and worship the Lord and sing in the midnight hour. The prison began to rock and reel. Everyone's bands were loosed. And the officer in charge was going to kill himself, commit suicide. And Paul said, "Sir, do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And the officer asked for a light, and Paul gave him a light. He gave him the gospel light. The man was converted to Christ. He took Paul and Silas back to his home. His entire family was converted to Christ. And they became the first members of the church at Philippi. And so the church at Philippi, known as the Joy Book of the Bible, had its beginning in a prison cell, a maximum security prison, with a preacher, a missionary, preaching the gospel and praising God in the midnight hour. We come to the closing of Philippians chapter number 4. And Paul gives his advice and encouragement to the church, beginning in verse number 4, and he says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our fathers, we bow before you this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to be here at Shenandoah Baptist Church once again. Thank you for the wonderful singing, the testimonies of the grace of God. Thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Gamble. I pray you'll continue your blessings upon them. And Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of thy people. Lord, as we endeavor to look at the scriptures and consider the subject matter of thanksgiving, remind us we have much to be thankful for. And I pray tonight that if there's one here that doesn't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, may the Holy Spirit of God convict them, show them their need for Christ. May they be saved this hour. We'd ask you that you'll encourage your people. May you supply every need, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Notice in this passage of Scripture, specifically in verse number 6, Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. As we approach the Thanksgiving season of 2019, I'm reminded of the Scriptures and the Word of God, where we are commanded to be thankful and to give God the praise and glory that is rightly due His name. Thanksgiving is an expression of gratitude. It is an expression of the heart when we express to God the blessings that He has given to us and the overwhelming joy that we receive in His blessings and being the recipient of His grace, His mercy, and His unmerited gifts. As we consider Psalm 92 in verse number 1, the psalmist says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And I say to you tonight with the psalmist that it truly is good to give thanks unto the Lord. And tonight we are to be reminded that God is looking for a people that are grateful for His blessings, grateful for His grace, grateful for His mighty provisions that He has bestowed upon you and I as the children of God. And so tonight it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so I would ask you tonight, how long has it been since you bowed your knees, bowed your heart, bowed your head unto the Heavenly Father and thanked Him for His blessings and unlimited merit and grace upon your life? Paul said to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so now we have two commands that we are to give thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. The psalmist also said in Psalm 116 in verse number 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? And tonight we have a lot that we can offer to the Lord. Ungrateful people are not thankful, and many become reprobate. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 1 and verse number 21, because that when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And I say to you tonight, an ungrateful people, an unthankful people, often becomes reprobate and hardened in mind, and are not willing to show God the gratitude that is rightly due His name for His blessings and again His provisions upon our life. Gratitude does not come natural to you and I. It is against human nature to be thankful and to express gratitude in our life. Notice in our text, if you would, three things that I would like to examine tonight. First, Paul says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. And the word careful in this passage of Scripture, it literally means to be anxious or to take thought. And so we find in this passage of Scripture that Paul is literally saying that we are not to be anxious over anything that comes in life. Doing so shows an ingratitude to God and a lack of a confidence in God to supply our needs and to take care of us. And it is a denial of His ability to see us through the dark times and the difficult times of our life. And so we find in the passage of Scripture that Paul says to the Christians at Philippi, be not anxious, do not be overcome or filled with anxiety, because doing so causes us to doubt God, His blessings, and His provisions. May I say to you tonight, the Bible has much to say concerning the subject matter of anxiety and concerning the matter of being worked up in this world and the concerns and the circumstances in which we face. Notice in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6 and verse number 25 through verse 34. Notice what the Bible tells us. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and therefore he says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, notice the Bible says, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, so shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And I want to just stop there for the sake of time tonight and simply say this, that Christ is teaching that we are not to take thought, and the word thought in that passage of Scripture once again deals with the subject matter of anxiety. And what he is literally saying is when we face the needs of life, whether it's food, raiment, or clothing, or the bare necessities of life, Jesus himself is saying that we should take no thought for these things, for our Heavenly Father, even as he takes care of the raven, even as he clothed the lilies of the field, and Solomon in all of his glory, the Heavenly Father supplied their needs, he takes care of them, and you and I should have no anxiety toward the blessings and the capability of our Heavenly Father in meeting our every need in our life. And so God says, take no thought of tomorrow or of these things. May I say to you tonight that we should take no thought, we should not be in a worked up state of anxiety, doubting the blessings and the provisions of God. And so we are to take no thought for nothing. Notice he says in the text that we are to put our faith and our trust in him. Notice he says in verse number 34 of Matthew, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for itself, and sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so may I say to you tonight, that we serve a God that is able to supply our every need. I remember many years ago, we were traveling with the ministry, we're on deputation, we were going through the state of Washington. We left the state of Missouri. I was training to be a missionary chaplain, and we were living in a motor home that was built for South Florida. And it was a Winnebago, and it was 20 foot from the tip of one bumper to the tip of the other bumper. And we had two children, they were ages 4 and 5 at the time, and we made it out to Missouri, getting ready to leave, going to Wyoming. One of the gentlemen in our church, and no reflection on deacons tonight, but he happened to be a deacon. He came to me and he said, now, Brother Ellis, you know if you take your family in that motorhome to Wyoming, it's sub-zero many days of the year out there in the winter, and they get feet of snow, and you're going to be broken down in that camper, and your family's going to freeze to death, and God's going to hold you accountable. And I said to him, I said, well, brother, I appreciate your concern, but I've prayed about it, and the Lord has led me, and I can't get away from it. He said, well, I'm telling you. He said, if your transmission goes out, your engine blows up before you get out of town, it's a sign that God's not in it. God's my witness. I wish Miss Ellis was here tonight to testify with me. We got up to the first stop sign, getting ready to go out of town. And to stop, looked both directions, and got ready to go, and the transmission fell out of that thing. It went out. I called our pastor, Pastor Riker, at the time. I told him what had happened. I said, do you know a transmission shop that I could take my vehicle to? He said, we happen to have a transmission repairman in our church, a member. And said, I'll give you his number. I called him. I had the motorhome towed into his place. We got there, and he said, now, Brother Ellis, he looked at it. He said, the transmission's out of it. He said, it's going to take me, even if I had all the parts, I couldn't work all night and get you going tomorrow. I had to have that going by the next morning to get to my first meeting in Wyoming. Only had 3 meetings, but I one in Wyoming, one in Montana, and one in the state of Washington. And I told him, I said, well, I've got to go. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I'm going to get there if I have to hitchhike. And He said, it's impossible, can't happen. He said, if I had the parts and worked all night, I couldn't get you going. He called me back about 30 minutes later. He said, Brother Ellis, you're not going to believe what happened. He said, I was going to the back of our shop and getting ready to cut the main panel, the power off. He didn't have switches. He had to use a switch box to cut off the power to the building. He said, I looked over in the corner of the building, and there was a large crate set in there. And he said, it's been there for years, and I really hadn't paid any attention to it until tonight. He said, I went over and looked at that, and I thought, I wonder what's in there. He said, I began to look at it, and I noticed it was a transmission. He said, I broke the top open on it, began to look at it, and he said, it brought back my memory. He said, I remembered several years ago, there was a gentleman who needed a transmission for his truck. And I ordered it, and in the meantime, while it was waiting to be shipped, he got impatient, and he had someone else work on his transmission and got it going. He said, I got stuck with that transmission, and it's been sitting here all these years. He said, Brother Ellis, it is exactly what you need for your motorhome. He said, I'll work all night and I'll have you going by morning. And so the next morning, we got ready to go. And that meantime, later that night, one of our other men of the church called, said, now, Brother Ellis, you're not going to Wyoming in that vehicle, are you? I said, I got to go. The Lord's impressed in my heart to go. I don't have a choice. The Lord has showed me that I'm to go. And he said, now, you can't go. He said, there's places where there's 80-100 mile stretch without gas stations. Said, you'll get out there and you'll run out of gas, your family will freeze to death. And they were telling the truth. We lived in Wyoming for 7 years, and every year we'd have families. One year we had an entire family that froze to death on the side of the interstate. Their car broke down, and he was walking. It was only a few hundred yards off the interstate, and they found him about 200 yards from the car, froze to death in the snow and ice, and his family froze to death that night in the vehicles. It happened every year. And he said, now, you can't go. You'll run out of gas. And I said, I got to go. The Lord's led me. And he said, well, he said, if you're going to go, I'm going to buy another gas tank to go on that motorhome. I said, help yourself. And after a while, he asked me if we could have that put on. He happened to have one, and he put it in. Another gentleman, prior to the transmission going out, had bought us new tires. And I'll not go through all the things that it went through, but the Lord prepared that Winnebago motorhome for Wyoming weather. And it'd keep us warm. Unless you open the door for about 30 seconds, it'd take 30 minutes to get it warmed back up again. We got out there, and folks all over the state of Wyoming said, you know, this is unusual. It's the warmest winter we've had on record. I said, it's not unusual. That's God. Amen. May I say to you tonight, be careful for nothing. Be anxious over nothing. Our Heavenly Father is in heaven. He's on the throne tonight, and He'll provide every need that we have. He's not broken. He's not busted. And He is not disgusted tonight. I thank God that He supplies the need. From there, we went on to our meetings and finally made it out going to the state of Washington to our meeting in Oak Harbor, Washington, the Bible Baptist Church. I was going through Moses Lake, Washington, and I'll not go through all the story tonight, but as we were traveling down the interstate, our windshield wipers had broken off. The ice was building up on the wiper blades, and finally, they finally got so heavy when they wiped over, they just went flying down the interstate and broke off. The dashboard caught on fire. Mrs. Ellis, I ran back, got a fire extinguisher, began to put the fire out, and had more white on the inside of the windshield than I had snow on the outside of it. We got on the side of the interstate, went to stop, and our brakes had gone out. Our refrigerator had gone out. I'm telling you, we're in bad array. I called the Calvary Baptist Church. Someone answered the phone. I said, I'm a missionary. I'm not asking for an opportunity to preach. I'm not asking for an opportunity to share our ministry. I just need a place to come tonight to worship. And if it can, we'll park in the back corner of the parking lot. We don't need power, water, electricity. We'll just park and I'll get on down the road in the morning. He said, now, Brother Ellis, he said, our pastor resigned 2 weeks ago. We don't have anyone to preach. And if you come, you can do exactly what you ask and park in our parking lot. But you have to preach if you come. I said, no problem. I'm from the South. I'll preach at the drop of the hat and drop the hat to preach. We went that night. I preached and never said a word about our needs. We got ready to go to bed. Our children, we'd prayed with them, had their devotions. They had turned in for the night. And all of a sudden, there was a knock at our door. I went to the door, and that deacon was standing there. Tears were dripping down his cheeks. He said, Brother Ellis, he said, the most unusual thing happened tonight. He said, we were shopping. He said, my wife and I buy our groceries on Wednesday night after church. He said, it's a good time to go. It's not busy, and we can spend quality time together. Said, we were walking down the aisle in the supermarket, and I looked at my wife and said, is the Lord leading you like He's leading me to do something for that missionary? She said, He sure is. And said, Brother Ellis, the Lord impressed on our heart to buy your family some groceries. I knew when they turned their car around and headed the trunk toward the front door of our motorhome, we was about to get some groceries. They unloaded bags and boxes of groceries. Never met us before. They gave us the favorite cereal of our children. They gave us some of the favorite foods that Mrs. Ellis and I had. He said, "Do you like steak?" I said, "Like steak? Put a piece on your forehead and a tongue and slap your brains out trying to get to it." They gave us moose steak, elk steak, bighorn sheep steak, about everything you can imagine. And by the way, that deer is already claimed as on Rock of Ages property. I heard it myself. If I'd known that, I'd have been a minute late tonight coming in as I drove by. And later on that night, he said, "Now, Brother Ellis, let my wife help your wife put the groceries up in the refrigerator." I said, "No, sir. We'll get it took care of. Don't worry about it. We're fine." I didn't want to tell him the refrigerator was broken down. He was persistent. Finally, I said, "Well, brother, I'll be honest with you. Our refrigerator, that ammonia nitrate system, has broken down in our motorhome." He said, "Well, Brother Ellis, would you like to know what I do?" It's a little town. They only had a little RV shop with about maybe at most a half a dozen RVs sitting on the lot. He said, "They just sent me 2 months ago to a special training series on how to fix ammonia nitrate systems." I said, "Go ahead and fix it, brother." In a few moments, he had it up and going. He got ready to leave, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out a personal checkbook and wrote a check. "By this time, I have lost my dignity." And he turned it upside down on the table. I turned it up, and there was a $40 check. You say, "What'd you do?" I began to praise God and worship him right there in front of the deacon. God had supplied our needs. $40 at that time filled up our both gas tanks and got us down the road to our next meeting. I'm telling you, be anxious for nothing. We serve a God tonight who is not broken. He can supply our every need tonight. And I thank God for his blessings tonight. And Paul says to the Philippian church and the Christians, "Don't be anxious. I know you're in troubled times. I know you're in difficult times. But I want to remind you tonight, God is able." Amen. Notice, if you would please, the second thing in our text in verse number 6. He says also to be prayerful for everything. He said, "But in everything by prayer and supplication." You know, when we pray, we show our dependence upon him. Prayer acknowledges God's preeminence and our insufficiencies. Aren't you glad tonight we can go to God in prayer? Nothing too small, nothing too great. We can carry it all to the Heavenly Father. I thought about many, many years ago as a young preacher boy. I used to visit Faith Baptist Camp. And I remember Dr. Allen would be visiting some of the churches and preaching. I remember one time we did some concrete work down there many years ago at the camp, and I remember somebody brought him a glass of water. He said, "Boys, wait just a minute, stop right there." And he bowed on his knees out in the middle of that concrete slab and prayed and thanked God for a glass of water. We ought to be thankful for everything. He said, "In everything, by prayer and fasting." You know, I've been a Christian for 42 years. I've been a missionary come January the 30th of next year, 2020, just a few months away, a few weeks away. I've been a missionary for 33 years, say 42 years, and God's never failed. He's never failed. Never has he failed. I've got a lot to be thankful for tonight, and I bless his holy name for it. Notice the third thing tonight. Notice, if you would, with me, please. In verse number 6, he said, "With thanksgiving." Not only does he tell us to be prayerful for everything, but he tells us to be thankful for anything. Do you know that means to be thankful for the good things and the bad things? All of us have trials and difficulties and disappointments and heartaches and heartbreaks and trials and victories and triumphs in our life. There's things in my life I don't understand. And I don't believe tonight, if I ask the Lord to give me an understanding heart to know all the details of why he allowed certain things to happen in my life, I don't believe God will show me all those things. I think some of them he'll save for heaven till when I get there. I don't fully understand it all. But I know this. Paul said to the Philippian church and all their persecution, be thankful for everything. Just thank God for his blessings. You see, thanksgiving is not only an expression of gratitude, but it's an active gratitude. We can't be thankful unless we're actively involved in giving thanksgiving. And we're worshiping him and we're thanking him and we're acting out that which the Lord has done for us. The great commentator, Matthew Henry, in his expository books and in his outlines, made this statement. One time he was accosted by thieves and robbed of his purse or his billfold. And he wrote in his diary the following line: "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Secondly, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was not I, fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. We can always be thankful for something. Say amen right there. What are some things we should be thankful for tonight? Let me give you just a few if I may tonight. And I'm going to anyway. So I hope you'll enjoy them and bear with me tonight. First, according to the scriptures, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I'm grateful tonight for my wife. Miss Ellis is not able to be with us tonight. When I was just first saved and called in the ministry, you may not believe it, but I fasted and prayed that God would give me a godly wife for the ministry. And the Lord answered my prayer. I stuck my foot in my mouth one night, and I said, when God gave me Mrs. Ellis, He gave me more than I asked for. Some laughed and thought I meant it in a bad way, but I meant it in a good way. And I thank God for my wife. How long has it been since you told your spouse, I love you and you meant it? How long has it been since you have treated her like you did before you got married? Reminded of the gentleman who was driving down the road, and his wife looked at him, and he's, of course, sitting under the driver's wheel, and she's over in the passenger side, and she looked at him and said, you know, when we first got married, said, you couldn't put a piece of paper between us. He simply looked at her and said, well, I hadn't moved an inch. You'll get that in a minute. Another one, to his shame, his wife looked at him and said, you know, you hadn't told me you love me since we got married, and said, I do. He said, if it ever changes, I'll let you know. We have a lot to be thankful for. We should thank God for our spouse. Thank God for our health. You know, tonight I thank the Lord. I've had to walk in front of a casket because of preaching my dad's funeral, my sister's funeral, and my brother's funeral, and many loved ones. I remember in less than a year and a half, I personally preached 11 funerals of just family members and extended family members and one friend. And I thank God I've never had to walk in front of or behind a casket that belonged to my wife or my children. I thank God for that. How long has it been since we just thanked the Lord? Thank God for grandchildren, and you grandparents say amen right there with a large shout of amen. Thank God for our homes and our vehicles and our church. How long has it been since you thanked God for Shenandoah Baptist Church? I'm a member of the Bible Baptist Church in Rossville, Georgia, Pastor Ricky Gravely. And I've said repeatedly on recent occasions over the last year and a half or so, 2 years we've been a member, it's one of the best decisions we've made many years to join a good, solid church that preaches the gospel and have a pastor that loves the Lord and preaches the truth. How long has it been since you thanked God for your pastor? How long has it been since you came up to Pastor Gamble, and some of you probably do it continuously, and it's not just a show or not just something that's a facade, but really from your heart you genuinely meant it and said, preacher, I love you and thank you for the message you brought. And thank God for your preacher. I read an article some years ago, told church members how to get rid of their pastor. And I'm not going to go through the whole list. I remember most of them. One of them was, when your pastor preaches, say amen. He'll die of a heart attack. Another one is, you come by and tell him, preacher, that was a wonderful message this morning. He'll have a stroke. You see, the truth of the matter is we ought to thank God for our preacher. Don't be like the man who was talked about his preacher all the time, not that anyone is, but he preached one day and was standing at the back of the church in the auditorium, and folks were coming by shaking hands, and a little girl walked by and said, preacher, when I get old and get married, I'm going to make a lot of money and I'm going to give you some of it. He said, well, darling, that's the sweetest thing I ever heard in my life. Why would you do that? She said, I'm always hearing my daddy say, you're the poorest preacher he's ever heard in his life. Don't be like that. Thank God for your preacher. Thank God for your deacons and deaconesses and deacons or anybody else. Thank God for the people of God and the church members and those that are beside you. Thank God for the homes. Thank God for the buses that run. Thank God for the souls that have been saved. Thank God for the choir and godly music that we listen to tonight. Thank God we have a lot to be thankful for tonight. How about your Sunday school teacher, the song leaders, your friends? I know one thing all of us ought to be thankful for is salvation. I was reminiscing tonight during all the singing. That day I got saved on a Sunday morning at Dogwood Valley Baptist Church. The preacher preached. I was under conviction. I began to knock people out of the pew, literally, made my way to the aisle. And somewhere, somebody said, "Preacher, did you get saved that morning at the altar?" No, I really didn't. I got saved between the pew and the altar. I was already seeking God and calling out for salvation.
Yes.
I was gloriously born again that morning at Dogwood Valley Baptist Church. Thank God for my salvation. I was just sitting the other day meditating on some open doors that God's given to us. And tears began to drip off my cheeks. And I thought, thank God for the day I said yes to Jesus Christ. Thank God for a Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Thank God for the freedom. Thank God for those who are able to lead to the Lord. We're preaching at the CCA Revival just recently and preached on the subject matter of guilt one night. During the invitation, folks began to come forward, many getting saved, others rededicating their life to the Lord. But I'll never forget, as long as I live, one prisoner stood up. He was about my height and a lot skinnier than I am. He's a slender man. He came forward, he was weeping and wailing. He said, "I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, and I want to get saved tonight and give my life to Jesus Christ." And that night he bowed his head and his heart and trusted Christ as his personal Savior. There's a song, maybe we could close it out tonight singing this song. "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." Does your heart need a tune up tonight? Does your heart need to tune up on giving God the praise and the great blessings that he's given to you? Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. You see, the mass of people can be divided into two categories. Those who take things for granted and those with gratitude. There's only two categories tonight. It is said that Cyrus gave one of his generals a cup of gold, and to another he gave a kiss for their performance on the battlefield. To the one he gave the cup of gold, complained that he had received the lesser favor and honor. Oh, that we might receive from the Lord his blessings. And hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning." It is said that during the famine in Canaan that Joseph ordered his officers to throw wheat and chaff on the waters of the Nile, that the people down below might see that there was plenty up above. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. And I say to you tonight, we ought to stop and praise God and lift up our hands and our heart and thank our Heavenly Father for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us that comes down from our Heavenly Father. Psalm 103:1, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Let me give you just a couple of things on the benefits of God, and I'll be done. One, according to the scriptures, forgiveness of sin. Thank God for our forgiveness of our sin. Secondly, who healeth all thy diseases. Thank God for our health tonight. Thirdly, thank God for the preservation of life. The Bible said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Fourthly, tonight, for his blessing, loving kindness and tender mercies. And then for sanctification. How do we give God thanks? Let me give you just a couple of things and I am done. One, we can do it by obeying his word. Yes. Give thanks unto the Lord, to praise him and thank him for his scriptures. Many of us may have a Bible tonight that's doing more than just collecting dust. It's getting old. I remember from, and I shared, I believe, this morning in our devotions at Rock of Ages, there was a man on death row. I gave a Bible, a new Bible. He had it for well over a year and a half. He was executed, and the warden, after the execution on the following morning, asked me if I would like to get part of Mark's personal belongings. His family had taken everything they wanted. He was what they called a Jack Mormon, a backslidden Mormon. He wouldn't get saved and give his life to the Lord. I'd given him a Bible and stuffed it full of gospel tracts and wrote the Romans Road in the front of it and put on there that I was praying for him, a personal note. I tried to witness to him on numerous occasions. He sent a request for me to talk to him right before his execution. I walked into the room. He looked at the officer. He said, there is that chaplain. If I start acting religious, slap me out of my chair. He said, chaplain, I'll see the devil in just a few minutes, and I'll tell him you said hello. And he was cold and callous. That morning, I walked over, and of course, they left his Bible. And when I picked up that Bible, you could tell that the pages had never been opened. Some of us have Bibles tonight, and they're never opened. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Give him offerings. The Bible said in 1 Chronicles 16:29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering. Consider in thanksgiving and giving God something that is a sacrifice. And then verbally thank him for his blessings and thank God for those that he has put in our life. You see, we have much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. Let us express our gratitude and let us thank God for all of his blessings, for his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And let us thank God for those he has used to be a blessing to us. Here's what I'd like to do tonight. I guess this would be okay if we can, Pastor Gamble. Can we get your song director to come, maybe a musician? I'd like to sing that song, Come Thou Fount. And just close with this tonight, at this end of the service, and your pastor will come. And I wonder tonight as we sing this song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Do we need to come tonight maybe with a spouse or children or grandchildren in the family and just bow at an altar and say, Lord, tonight I want to take time and just say thank you for your wonderful blessings that you bestowed upon us. Father, as we come before you tonight,